I'm going to begin in Genesis chapter 1. I tell the youth and the children always, if you want to start, if you're going to count by ones, you got to start at one, right? Or the number's not going to be correct. If you don't start at the right place, you're not going to end in the correct place. So I'm going to start with Genesis 1, chapter, the first chapter, verses 1 and 2. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Verse 3 says, then God said, let there be light. And I want to point something out in these scriptures here. God, a Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, is always at work. They work together. They're never out of unison. And in the scriptures, here it points to it. See, God said, right? God the Father said. Well, who's the Word? It tells us in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, Jesus. See, when he spoke Jesus. And then it says that the Holy Spirit was hovering over the face of the waters. And let me just encourage you today, because the Spirit, what the Holy Spirit does, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Anybody feeling liberty this morning?
Yes.
Amen. Yes. I felt the liberty of the Lord here.
Amen.
But let me just tell you one of the things that the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit always brings order to chaos. Let me say that again. The Holy Spirit brings order to chaos. Is our world chaotic?
Yes.
Anybody experience that here? Our world is in chaos. What we need is the Holy Spirit to bring order to the chaos. Now, let me just say this. The Holy Spirit, they all work together. The Holy Spirit is always pointing you back to Jesus, to the Word, to the rock, to our foundation. They're all working together, and they're bringing things to us. Let me just say, there's creation, but there's Jesus was involved in this activity, and the Holy Spirit's bringing order to this chaos. Let me just ask you this question. Did you make the world? Did you make the birds, the fish? We didn't make it. We don't control it. Think about that. I know the one that does, though. I know the one that made it, that spoke it into existence, that brings order to chaos, and will again. Now, I hope you know this familiar scripture in Psalms chapter 23. You know that one? It says, the Lord is my shepherd. Is he your shepherd this morning? Is he involved in your activities? Is he creating things in your world? Is he bringing order to some of the chaos? This is an interesting statement. I shall not want. Really? That's a big statement. I shall not want. Anybody struggle with that? But the writer of this is saying that in his opinion, his experience with the Lord's involvement in his life, he should not, shall not want. And when we read the scriptures, sometimes we read those thou shalt nots, and he's like, and it's like, these are your rules. Well, here's the if you're remembering thou shalt not, remember this one with it. Thou shalt not want. It goes on to say, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. I don't know if you've ever been able to lie down on some green grass, and whether it's at night or during the day, and you're just able to relax. And you're able to look at the sky, and you're actually able to see and feel the peace of the world around you. Maybe you should do that again. Do you know where any green grass is? Maybe the Lord is leading you just to take a moment, rest in the Lord, and look at the world around. From his perspective. So he's above, and he's looking down on our world in a different dimension than we're in. It says, he leads me beside the still waters. Now, when I'm thinking about these, not too many, do we have any sheep herders here today? Not a one. I grew up on a farm, okay? So when he's using this analogy, sometimes it's a stretch. We have to take the word and put it, if you want to say, in our world, so to speak. If you're a delivery person, then he's with you on your route. If you're a mechanic, he's with you in the shop. If you're a student, he's with you at school, and you just tweak, if you want to say, what this is saying to your situation. Because he says this, he restores your soul. Is anybody? Has the Lord done that for anybody in the room?
Amen.
He restores your soul. He restores your mind, your will, and your emotions. See, there's this battle going on between the spirit and the flesh. Always. Your mind and your flesh. Your mind wants to do something, and your flesh wants to do something. And they're usually not the same. But he says, he restores my soul. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. Let me just say it this way. I've done a lot of work with addiction, and we encourage people to do the next right thing. Don't worry about everything. Just do the next right thing. That's what it's saying here. He leads me in the paths of righteousness to do the next right thing. Why? Because you're good? No. For his name's sake. Because when people see what God has done in you, with you, through you, when he brings order to your chaos, the world knows, it recognizes that. It's saying, something's going on there. Amen. The Lord does it. He's involved in it all the time, bringing order to our chaos. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Anybody felt like the last year and a half's been that valley? To me, here recently, I don't know, I've had more people pass than I can count. Not necessarily that I know, but people that I know. I'm praying for a pastor, Albert Pulley, this morning, and his wife. We're praying for Patrick and Jody and Eli and Luke. I'm praying that the Lord will speak to you today from his word, by his spirit, from the Father. He says, then I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. What can man do to me? I will fear no evil. It goes on to say, for you are with me. Jesus went to heaven, amen? He said it at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you. He's talking to God the Father on your behalf. But he didn't leave us comfortless. He sent us back his Holy Spirit to be with us, in us, and to work through us. He wants to bring order to your chaos, and he wants to help you to bring order to someone else's chaos so that they know that the Father is with them, that the Son is working in the world around them. For your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Does anyone need any comfort this morning? Now think about that. Do you know of anybody that's passed? Recently. All comfort comes from the Lord. He brings us comfort so that we in turn can bring someone else comfort. God is at work in our world. Just like he was at creation, he is now. Since you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, I want you to really consider this, no matter what occupation or what you do. I want you to think this very seriously. Has the Lord provided for you provision, a meal in the presence of your enemies? Has he? I dare say that most of you are going to have a pretty decent lunch today. Is there enemies out there? Yes. The Lord's already provided for you. In the presence of your enemies, things, not only in the physical, but spiritually. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Does it? That's a tall order. It's kind of like bookends. It says, I shall not want. And it says, my cup runneth over. Really? Sometimes we'll consider that. Is that really happening? The Spirit of the Lord brings order to chaos. Jesus brings life out of death. It says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Has it been? When we look in our rearview mirror, what do we see? See, his experience here, David, is saying that goodness and mercy followed me all the days of my life. When my enemy was chasing me, when I wasn't in the position that God had anointed me for and promised me, when my son rebelled against me, surely goodness and mercy followed him. When we look back, it could have been way different than what it is today. Really? Yeah. It could be a lot worse than what it is today. When I look back, I tell people this all the time, I can give you the story of how I got from there to here, but it just seems like it's hard to connect the dots. But I can tell you this, goodness and mercy of the Lord has followed me. And I look at people around here. I was here when Sadie was born. I remember Cody when he was short. Have they had difficulty? I don't even know all the troubles that they may have been through, but I know this. I look up here today and it's like, did goodness and mercy follow them? Wow. And he did you too. Has it been perfect? Not at all. And then it goes on to say, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. See, when God created things, what he did, he created them for eternity so that things would live forever. Adam and Eve live forever. But just like us, they jack things up. They sabotage their own success. They derailed. We've been derailed. But does that change what God has done? No. God is still involved and he's still active in our world, in our lives, leading us into eternal life, into dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. Let me just say, we were singing about it earlier. They're preaching. I didn't even have to preach today. They were preaching it to you. The Lord repeats it to you sometimes so that you get it. Are you seated in heavenly places? See, we sang about it. Are you? See, we are operating, believers are, from a position, from a place of victory. What is it saying? Undefeated. God's undefeated. We, on the other hand, sometimes God's undefeated. He created you and I to live eternally. But we have a choice, right? God gave you a choice, free will. He gave you a soul, a mind, a will, and emotion. And you can battle with that spirit, but He created you so that you, and He wants you to live forever. He wants you to dwell in the house of the Lord. If you want to say it a different way, He wants you to feel the presence that you felt earlier when you were singing. He wants you to feel like that all the time, every day from now on. That's what He wants. That's what He created this for, eternal life. Let me put it to you in a different way. Do you have a pet? Have you ever buried a pet? Have you ever thought about that God created the animals to live forever? See, God created life so that it would be eternal. Let's read another set of scriptures, if we will, in Titus chapter 3, beginning with verse 3. Let's see if we can relate. The scripture hits home to us. I mean, it speaks directly to us. It doesn't candy coat things. It tells it like it is. It says, "For we ourselves, we were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another." Does that describe any of the world that you live around? And again, so were some of us. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, boom, someone showed you love. Jesus may have showed up in your room. He showed you that He loved you even in your sin, even in your chaos, even in your destruction, even in your blood. The kindness, now here's the deal. Can people, our world, they pick on one thing and our world's like ark, right? And them racks of kindness. That's great, but it ain't going to get you to heaven. And then it's about love. Have you ever been around people that loved you, but they weren't kind to you? See, the scripture tells us the kindness and the love, they go hand in hand, appeared. It's appearing to you today through the Word. Not by works of righteousness. Our works of righteousness is as filthy rags, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration. Regeneration just means it's a new life. Anybody entered into a new life? You can today. If you hadn't, it's a choice that you make. I want eternal life. I want a new life. I want a regenerated life. It goes on to say, and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Does the Holy Spirit renew? Every chance He gets. Every chance we give Him, He renews us. He renews our mind and He refreshes our heart. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It says, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus. Jesus Christ, our Savior. That having been justified by grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of what now? God created us in the beginning to live eternally. He wants us to live eternally now. We can choose to accept to live in eternal life or unfortunately a second death. Because see, there's going to be some people that pass and then they're going to leave in eternal darkness, a second death. It's bad enough to die one time. God wants to work in us eternal life. In 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 2, it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as divine power has given to us all things that pertain to godliness, to life and godliness." God has given us. A lot of times I find that people are like, I can't live this Christian life. I can't live a godly life. You ever found yourself questioning that? Well, most of the time we can't, unless we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. Unless we keep returning to Jesus and that word, that eternal word, that life-giving word, the living word of God is in us and working through us. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which he was given to us exceeding, read it with me, exceedingly great and precious promises. She was started preaching there earlier about them promises. That's my whole message today, is about the promises of God. And I want you to think about this. Exceedingly great and precious promises, because that's what God has made to us. That through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. Let me just say it this way this morning. In Philippians 1 and 6, it says this, "Being confident in this very thing, that he that hath begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." The question today, has the Lord ever began a good work in you? If he has begun a good work in you, he will complete it. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. There are promises. All the promises of God are available to you. What is it? That I'm going to live eternally. He's going to walk with me. He's never going to leave me nor forsake me. He's going to go with me. If you've never accepted Christ today, can you just maybe rethink God today? Ask him into your heart. Let me just say it this way. Do you want to live a life eternally? Do you want eternal life? Because there's only one way to have that. That's in and through Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit speaking to hearts and lives today. And he's saying, Jesus died for you. He sacrificed. He shed his blood for you and I. He was buried, but he rose again. The firstborn of the dead, so that you and I and everyone we know could have eternal life. Will you receive the gift today? I encourage you to receive it. I encourage you to call upon the name of the Lord, to pray today, to receive eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. Sometimes I think it's maybe easier if you just close your eyes for just a moment. Can you picture Jesus on the cross? Can you picture that blood that was in his body that's dripping and falling to the ground? The blood that washes away our sins today. It's here for you and I. Accept his sacrifice today. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Jack is going to come and he's going to share with someone that received and accepted the eternal life that I'm talking about. Amen.